Now, friends, we've come to the third and the last chapter of the Epistle to Titus. The subject of this chapter is the church is to perform good works. Now, as we said, the three chapters divide, I think, very nicely. The church, first of all, it's an organization, and it's to be orderly. And then the church, as we saw, is to be sound in doctrine. And the church is to perform good works, as we're going to see in this chapter here. Now, to be a church that is full-orbed and covers all the spectrum that God wants for the church is to perform good works. Now in chapter 3 here, I begin reading at verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, the very first thing that he mentions here is the fact that the church must have members who are law-abiding. I always felt embarrassed when I had to get up on Thursday night in downtown Los Angeles and announce that somebody had parked in a no-parking place, or that they had shut out some working man that wanted to go home to his family, and they'd parked in a way that he couldn't get out. And actually, that was really breaking the law, to tell the truth, on the part of someone that apparently didn't pay very much attention to the fact that a Christian should be subject to principalities and powers. I think a believer should obey the laws of the land in which he lives if they do not conflict or contradict his duty and his relationship to God as he sees it. Now, that brings up something I think very interesting, because this is a question that not pertinent right now, but it has been, it could be again. And that is, should a young man that is drafted into the service, to military, should he go out when his religious convictions told him otherwise? Now, may I say to you, I think a fine group of young men were put in very bad light in this war in Korea, because we had so many that ran away. And very frankly, I think they ran away not because of religious convictions, but I can't think of any other explanation other than they were disloyal to their country. They were not obedient to this nation. Yet these young men wanted to enjoy all the blessings and benefits of our nation, but did not want to meet its responsibilities. Personally, I'd be hard-boiled with them, and I think that's the way it should be handled. But that's not really the question here. The question is, what about that young man with real Christian convictions about this? Been brought up that way. Well, may I say to you, he's been put in bad light today, but there were some that would not go into the armed forces to carry a gun, but they performed other duties. And I think they should be commended for that, because I believe it takes a bit of courage and conviction for a young man under those circumstances to stand on his two feet and say, yes, I'll serve, I'll wear the uniform, but I cannot conscientiously carry a gun. And I think that there should be sympathy and understanding granted to that young man. We are, though, to be subject to the principalities and powers. And a church should teach that, by the way. This is part of the message that should be given to church members. They should be obedient to the powers that be. And we're not obedient to the man, but to the office that he represents. I recognize that there are some policemen that are rather offensive. However, they've eliminated so much of that. And I think it's the police that is kind, and it's the criminal who is brutal and cruel today. The thing's been reversed in our day. But we should respect that uniform. I can remember the day when you'd be stopped by a traffic officer and he'd bawl you out. And I'd just sit there and cringe as a young fella. I think I deserved it, but They don't do that today, but the fact of the matter is it's the office that he occupies, and that is what we should respect because he represents that segment of our society that protects my home and your home. And I tell you, my friend, without them, we'd be in a bad way today. And this also raises the question whether Christians should go into politics or not. I believe that the individual Christian should go into politics, but I don't believe the church should go into politics. And if we had a real moving of the Spirit of God, out of the church would go men into these different offices in government during the Wesley revival. And Wesley never tried to straighten out the King of England or even the Church of England. They put him out and he began to preach the Word of God and men were converted. And out of those great meetings came a man like William Wilberforce and a man who was a gambler and a drunkard, no concern for the poor. And how do you suppose that the labor movement actually got started? Got started in that Wesley movement. That was the beginning against child labor, the movement against it. That was the beginning of the movement to protect workmen at the job. May I say to you that we do need individuals, but the church should stay out of it. Never call to enter as an organization, but put them in mind. Speak to the individuals. Now he says also to be ready for every good work. And here in this chapter, the church is told individuals to be eager, to be anxious, and to learn to perform good works. Now we'll note that as we go along.